तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। अखण्डमण्डलाकारं व्याप्तं येन चराचरं यत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। Many times we have heard that being born in a human body is a great boon. Unfortunately, majority of the human population is wasting that boon. First of all, let us try to understand in what way being born in a human body is such a great boon, where it is said that even gods want to be born in a human body. If really human body is so great, as the great people say, is it not foolish that we are unaware of such a boon and are unable to utilize this boon given by nature through evolution? Here, first of all, let us try to understand the words we are using. One, I am saying nature, and the other word is I am saying evolution. And nature is a great machine, a dynamic machine, with various parts of the machine in synchronized activity, each part contributing to the whole. So nature is a huge machine where different parts of it are collaborating, contributing, and adding to nature. This collaboration of the various parts in nature, for example, the stars, the solar systems, the planets, the environmental cycles, everything is collaborating with each other and growing also at a terrific rate. We don't know why and what for. But this much we are sure, that nature has a purpose, because so many millions of different parts acting in synchronization cannot be a chance, cannot be without a purpose. And now scientists say that man has evolved from minerals to through apes into a human being. And if evolution is a process in nature, naturally it won't stop with man. So that is where the spiritualism has an edge over material science. Material science explains evolution, but it makes man the sole reason. At man it stops. After man, it doesn't think. Whatever it talks, it seems as if man is the center of the universe. It is as if the whole world, the whole creation is for man. But when we think a bit, we find that man is just a very insignificant part in nature's program. The religions say that there are 84 lakhs of species in which man is one. So if you remove man from the nature's calculations, even then nature has to continue, because there are other 83,99,999 species which are evolving. So man's evolution is a fact. But he is only a very insignificant part of the whole. But still, why is it it is said that man is the supreme and even gods want to be born as human beings? The reason is, man has got a special property called the ability to speak, the ability to convey, which other species do not have. And this ability to convey his experiences to others has helped man to evolve at a faster rate than other species. So one of the first boons of human body is he can take evolution into his own hands. Now, if you want to take the evolution into your own hands, it is not what you think about evolution that is important, but it is the nature's goal of evolution that is important. Is it clear? When we talk about evolution, it is not what we think as evolution that is important, but we should know where nature wants us to lead. Sri Aurobindo very clearly mentioned that in the process of evolution, man's physical body and nervous system are completely evolved to perfection. Evolution has nothing to do or add with human body and human nervous system. Our rishis called the human body, physical body, as Annamaya Kosha, and the nervous system as the Pranamaya Kosha. So for all practical purposes, in evolution, in human body, these two bodies, the Annamaya Kosha and the Pranamaya Kosha, have been completely evolved. There is nothing more to add in nature, but it is now the human being who is responsible to utilize these two koshas, the Annamaya and the Pranamaya koshas, to further the cause of evolution. Whether you call it as the cause of evolution or call it the God's wish, it is only a difference in nomenclature. God's wish is nothing but the wish of the nature's evolution. So that is what we mean when we call surrender. So you are not surrendering to anybody, but you are surrendering to the will of the nature, to the desire of the nature, to the sankalpa of nature. And if you don't allow the sankalpa of nature to dominate you, then what will happen? You will be broken. Your life will be purposeless. It will be a waste. Then, what is the next step in evolution that nature wants us to build, to grow, to achieve? It is the development of the mental body. How can you develop the mental body without various thoughts and emotions having a conflict? to grow, there must be a conflict. Whether it is a conflict of relationship, whether it is a conflict of the various organs trying to adjust themselves. Now, this point we should have a very, very clear picture, the conflict of organs. Nature has beautifully synchronized 10 systems having various organs into a human body. You have a nervous system working in collaboration with the muscular system, working in collaboration with the blood circulatory system, working in collaboration with the filter system or the kidney system, all working in collaboration with the digestive system. So we have so many organs in systems, and each organ of a system contributing a very, very, very specific role, and that role cannot be transferred. None else can take that role in the organ. Each cell in the organ has got its own specific characteristics. In the beginning, there were the stem cells which have evolved into various cells of the various systems. So this coordination without conflict, if the organs can achieve, and similarly, such an organization must be existing in the nervous system, the pranamaya kosha, and such an organization has to be achieved, has to be actually developed in human body, the mental body, the manomaya kosha. So all the conflicts that now we are seeing is the conflict of the organization of nature to have a fully ordered, organized, systematic mental body with various systems. So the conflicts are not the conflicts of the external world. It is the conflict of your mental body trying to reach perfection. And you cannot reach perfection without struggle. So don't worry about what the relationships are, what your physical or emotional body requires. You analyze it, because the analysis is important. Until and unless your trouble is completely diagnosed by various instruments, a doctor cannot prescribe a cure. So don't run away with facts. Live with them. Try to understand and try to analyze what it conveys for the development of the mental body. That is the purpose of the present stage humanity. That is why we call it as the fifth root race. The fifth race. Why? We have seven races. The first race concentrating on the Adi plane. The second race concentrating on the Anupadaka plane. The third race concentrating on the Atma plane. The fourth race constituting of the Buddhi plane or intuitional plane. And the fifth race concentrating on the mental plane. So this is what we should understand by the nomenclature of the races according to theosophy. And according to our system of evaluation, the first two planes are very hard to understand, the Adi and Anupadaka plane. Therefore, we have only five. The Atma, Buddhi, Manas, and then the Kama and the Sthula. At the present moment, the human body has a completely organized physical body. This must be again and again stressed. Your physical body has no need to perfection. The only thing you have to do is see that it is not overworked, overburdened, misused, or used for a wrong purpose. That is the care we should take. There is nothing to add to it. And then about the vitality, the kama, the desires, that depends on the nervous system, the pranamaya kosha. And at present, majority of the human beings are living in the astral plane, the kamamaya sharira. But the kamamaya sharira is not synchronized with the sthula sharira. Your desires are not linked up with your physical body, nor they are linked up with your mental body. So the kamamaya sharira, the pranamaya sharira, is now behaving independently without a link between the manomaya kosha and the annamaya kosha. So that is the purpose of our lives. For this the rishis have given a culture which may become a civilization, or which will become a civilization if we work hard for it. But we should work hard for it like pioneers, like scientists, who are entirely concentrating all their energies in achieving their goals. Are we ready to work like a scientist, like a pioneer, like a revolutionary, to see that the yogic culture becomes a yogic civilization? Now, we have to understand the difference between a culture and a civilization. The culture is known as Samskriti in our language, in Sanskrit. Culture is first visioned, thought of by few pioneers, by few revolutionaries, by a few Sangha Samskartas like Raja Ram Mohan Rai, Lajapat Rai, Veerasingam Pantulu, etc. So what they envisaged, they work hard to bring it to the masses, to make the masses accept that principle. And when the mass accepts that principle, it becomes a civilization. It becomes a well accepted, the thing to be done concept in humanity. So once sati was supposed to be very good, but now, even though it is persisting somewhere, it is not accepted. Widow remarriage. Even now in many films we see that concept being presented, because still at many places it is a taboo. So education to women was a taboo. Now education to women has become a must. So when it was a taboo and some people advocated women education, it is culture. When it is accepted by the mass, it is civilization. So now, in yoga, we are in this crossroads. What we are doing and practicing is yoga culture. And what we are aiming is yoga civilization. But nature has planned it, and nature has decided it, and therefore, very soon, yoga culture is going to become yoga civilization. What is now nature is asking us those who are able to think clearly in humanity is, can you become a pioneer? Can you become the revolutionary? Can you become the center around which the yoga culture can become a yoga civilization? It is already fast approaching. The results of Swami Ramdev Maharaj, the results of Sri Aurobindo, the results of Sri Ramana Maharshi, the results of Jillela Mudi Amma, the results of Shyamacharan Lahari, these are all pioneers who have worked hard for the culture of yoga. And now it has to become a civilization. And that is a certainty, can be seen by the results achieved by the recent pioneers in the yoga, asanas and pranayama, especially Swami Ramdev and his group of workers, and the development of nature cure hospitals, and the sufferings of humanity, the diabetes, the BP, the cancer, the AIDS, and probably a new disease that is being predicted, AICS, A-I-C-S. All these are because humanity is being forced by nature to accept yoga culture and convert it into a yogic civilization. So these diseases are also the instruments of nature to force you to further your evolution, and your evolution doesn't mean your individual evolution. Evolution is always of the humanity. It is never a part of one human individual. If he evolves, automatically his evolution becomes a part of the entire humanity. So this step, where the physical body and the nervous system, the annamaya and pranamaya, have to be coordinated with your manomaya kosha, and their asanas and pranayamas are important. It should become a part of your daily routine, just as in very, very, very far off civilizations, you can understand when I say that they never brushed their teeth. They never bathed. But today, brushing your teeth and bathing is a must. Even though few people may delay it, they won't bathe immediately after getting up. They bathe later, and some people may bathe after 2 or 3 days. But that is the cave civilization. The present human civilization insists that you should brush and clean your internal and external body and bathe. Similarly, in yogic culture, when it becomes a yogic civilization, in every household, asanas and pranayamas also must become a part of your daily routine. So it is not that you do the asanas and pranayamas when you want it. It should become a part of the routine. And my intention is, wherever I am, I should bring this yogic culture as a civilization with whom I am living. There may be a handful, it doesn't matter. But it should be a civilization. They should do like that. And the most important thing is, money and food are interrelated. As you know, the food taken by those in the lower income group is certainly different from those who are in the middle income group, and again certainly it is different from the higher income group. Is it not? Not only the food, the quality of the food, but the way you take it also changes. The process in which it is cooked and the way in which you take it also changes. And now I have told you that evolution is a mass project. And therefore, once it was thought that one should eat alone, at his own place, food should not be sold, food should not be eaten out. But now what it has become? It is cooked in masses, eaten in masses. The hotels are an example of that. But unfortunately, those who are eating that food and that type of living are unable to understand why this process of evolution has created those circumstances. You have to eat together with intention. Eating must be done together with intention. In the residential colleges, to some extent, it is possible. And when a commissioner or somebody says, see that noon food, even in colleges, be arranged, it is evolution forcing you to eat together with a purpose. In colleges, you eat with a purpose. In hostels, you eat with a purpose, depending upon which hostel it is, whether it is a working women's hostel or an engineering college hostel. The intention is different for those who are eating together. And now, what we are supposed to teach is how to change the mental body with the food you are eating. Because it is said, as you eat, thus the mind is formed. Jaisa khaye anna, vaisa man. And that is why I insist that all of us should eat together. First, at least, make that habit of eating together. And the intention I will add later. Nature is also waiting. It has created hotels, fast food centers also, so that you will eat together. One group cooks, other group eats. But the group that is cooking is only interested in money. And the group that is eating is only interested in making money. So the purpose of eating has gone. The purpose of eating together has gone. So what is the new civilization has to achieve? Asanas and pranayamas must become a part of your daily routine. With what intention? So that your mind, manomay kosha, your vitality, pranamay kosha, and physical body, annamay kosha, must work together. Many people complain to me that they are not able to sit for meditation. Or if they sit for meditation, some other thoughts come. There is nothing wrong in it. It only shows that our mental body has not evolved. And it has not evolved. That is the purpose of nature, to evolve your mental body. Am I clear until now? So for evolution, you have to eat together. But eating together is not enough. You have to cook together. That is why in ashramas, right from Siddhi Sai, you have the process of Sai himself cooking, so that he knows with what intention it has to be cooked. And what was his main intention? Right from Kabir Das to all these saints, is the merger of Hindu, Muslims and Christians. It is not separation. The merger. Kabir Das wanted it. Aurobindo wanted it. He said the division must go. But that doesn't mean that Hindus should dominate the society or Muslims must dominate the society. It is how they should live in the community, paying their own organs. Muslim community is the organ of humanity. Christian community is the organ of humanity. Jainism is the organ of humanity. Buddhism is the organ of humanity. The total humanity, what Sri Ram Sharma Acharya used to say, Vishwamanav. And what Purusha Sukta clearly depicts, The entire humanity is one Purusha, one human body. And now, should you fight? A kidney does not fight with heart, saying that why should I go on pumping urine and cleaning? I will circulate the blood. You do that work of the, okay, you can do it. But then heart will be called kidney and kidney will be called heart. You understand what I am trying to tell? If you change the roles, it doesn't matter, your name also will change. But unfortunately, nowadays in the papers we always see about these conversions. There is no conversion, there is no possibility of conversion. You cannot convert a kidney into a heart. If you convert, then kidney will become a heart. Then it is no more a kidney. Got the point? So the conversions have no meaning. Now the kidney says, from now on I will do the work of the heart. It is converted. Okay, the kidney has converted into, then you won't call it a kidney. What will you call it? Its duties change. Got the point? So conversion and fighting for conversion, stopping for conversions, literally have no meaning, except it shows that our mental body has not grown enough to understand the totality of humanity. Every human being is a part of the world human being, Vishwamanava, the cosmic human being, just as every cell of your body is a part of yourself, though with different functions, with different dharmas. Dharma and function once means the same thing, rasayanika dharma, bhautika dharma. So it is not a religion which you can change. It is a fact in life. So what is your true religion without all these labels is what the yogic culture will give to humanity when it becomes a yogic civilization. With all this what I am telling, asanas, pranayamas and eating together is a must. But that is not new religion. It is only a synchronization of what you already have. You have a annamaya kosha. It has to be perfected by asanas. You have a pranamaya kosha. It has to be perfected by pranayama. But nowadays the asanas and pranayamas are not specialized. It is like the high school education. It is general for every human being. But later, when our yogic civilization dominates, every individual will be given a specific type of pranayama which may not be there before in the world, that type of pranayama. But when you can get a new type of pranayama, when you are expert of already the present pranayama techniques. So that is what you have to do. But with all that, the basic problem set by evolution is development of your manomaya kosha. And that is why so much stress is being given on education. So much stress is being given on education. It is said that children must be forcibly sent to schools. And all this is the nature's pressure to make the mental body more workable. But now the yogi culture says that you have four levels of mental body. First is the manas. The second is the buddhi. The third is the chitta. And the fourth is the ahankara. Mano, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. And these four are the inner instruments, antahakarana, which uses the bahya karanas, the external apparatus. And we have five external gyanendriyas and five internal Gyanendriyas, what are known as the Karmendriyas. So these Karmendriyas and Gyanendriyas work together through the use of mind, and the education develops the mind. So once the education develops, it should stress on properly utilizing your five Gyanendriyas and five Karmendriyas. Is the education doing it now? No. But okay. Evolution takes a long, 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 long time. But human mentality, according to Vivekananda, says, can make its mind as perfect as nature wants. The end product of nature's evolution of mind, what it intends, can be achieved by 5 years of hard work by any man. So that is one of the main important purposes for which I am trying. I don't know about when the humanity will reach that state of perfect manomay kosha, but single individuals can learn the perfect mental body's processes in 5 years' time, if they work as hard as you work for your engineering degree or for your medical degree. So this is my first purpose, your first purpose. In this purpose, the law of cause and effect, action and reaction, play a dominant role. And that is where Edgar Cayce's Many Mansions becomes a textbook for us. But with this intention, you don't ask the situations to change. Don't ask the people to change. Don't say that I am emotionally hurt. Don't say I don't like this relationship. No. You try to understand how this is influencing your mind. Because in the end, the physical world, you will learn, has no meaning except molding you towards the evolution. All these things have no meaning. All these relationships have no meaning except you utilize for molding yourself. And when I say molding yourself, I mean molding your manas, manomay kosha. So this you have to change. This way of thinking must be there. No mother, no father, no daughter, no son. But nature has put you somewhere, and it knows why it has kept you there. Why you are a daughter of so and so. Why you are a mother of so and so. Why your family situations or social situations are like this. We understand, but we always say we don't like it. And when a student says, I don't like examinations, what will be his fate? No degrees, no use of his studying. Even though if he studies the entire year very hard, but suppose he does not appear for the examinations, what will happen? Waste. Similarly, when you are having a relationships, different relationships, you have relationships with your co-workers, you have relationship with your boss, you have relationships with so many thousands of relationships. These relationships are what are meant by Sahasra Sirisha Purushaha, Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. It is not only that God has thousand eyes, you also have thousand eyes, you see life as Gayatri. But you also see as your mother sees it. You are controlled by her opinions. You also see with your eyes of your friends, with your relationships. Is it not? So what is happening? Unknowingly, your mind is forced to be molded with so many opinions. That is why we say drishtikona, angle of vision. Gayatri Drishtikona, Shobha Drishtikona, Bhanu Drishtikona and Dr. Bhanu's Drishtikona changes. She, as Bhanu, has her own personal life. But she as a mother, as a wife, different drishtikona. So it is not only God who has these thousands of eyes, thousands of drishtikona, you also having. And your main purpose is to channelize these different visions so that your mental body grows. But if you feel, weep, laugh, enjoy, but don't see what effect it is giving to the mind, waste. Why waste? Actually in nature there is no waste. All will be synchronized thousands of years later. But we as human beings have the ability to finish off the evolution of Manomay Kosha within 5 years. Then your emotions are a waste. Your feelings is a waste. Your feeling of unhappiness is a waste. Because there is no unhappiness, it is a feeling. Now put it into the mind and leave it. I think you are understanding what I am trying to tell. All of you. For this, the Many Mansions book helps us a lot. So we start it. And probably if possible, we will try to put it every Sunday so that others also may come. But because it is being recorded, it doesn't matter if they have time to hear. There is the question, it is recorded and put away somewhere. We have the Many Mansions book and put it on the shelf, not reading it. Okay? So read it. And now, the chapter 1 in Many Mansions talks about a magnificent possibility. So I am talking about this magnificent possibility of developing your Manomaya Kosha. Before humanity develops the perfect Manomaya Kosha, just as it has already developed the perfect physical body and nervous system, which may take lakhs of years, we don't know. But the magnificent possibility is you can reach the target of the evolution, which it will after thousands of years and years, in 5 years. That is the magnificent possibility. And what does he give there as an example? He talks about Edgar Cayce. Not he actually. It is Jinnah Sirminara, a psychology doctor and a very great social worker. She talks about this magnificent possibility. Adbhuta Sambhavana. What is this magnificent possibility? Making fast the evolution of mind. And now, a little bit of common sense for which you should be prepared. When you want to take the evolution in your hands and grow fast, naturally you will have to face many, many, many difficulties, many, many tests. If you want to grow fast, you have to read well, read more and prepare for more examinations. If you want to read in a normal college, no daily examinations, no monthly examinations, no weekly examinations, only year-end examination. And before that, there will be a lip service of pre-test, pre-examination, which is known as pre-public. Nobody attends it, nobody writes it, nobody marks it. If you want that type of evolution, okay. But if you want that magnificent possibility, which I want, and you two people understand, then you have to face the daily tests. And that is reflected in the residential colleges. And you are prepared to give thousands of rupees for your child to read in a residential college. How much you have to spend for getting yourself evolved thousands and thousands of years before others evolved? That is where Sri Ram Sharma Acharya stresses it, that you have to give your body, mind and everything entirely to this cause. Got the point? And not only that, you should be prepared to face the music, the emotional challenges, the mental tortures. You are saying you want to evolve. And what is your goal? In 5 years you will have a Manomay Kosha which nature intends to bring after lakhs of years. And you are not prepared to pay the price. How is it possible? But you did pay the price, you will become a yogi, a Siddha Purusha. All not only equal to these gurus but better than them. Today's 8th class student knows more than Einstein. But that doesn't make him greater than Einstein. It only shows how the process of evolution works, for which so many scientists were working from so many thousands of years. Now a high school student knows in entirety. So why not about the development of the Manomay Kosha? So this is the magnificent possibility. And then what did I say? The mind is the controller of the Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas. It is clear. Because the mind is not behind it. Suppose I am talking, but your mind is elsewhere. You will be hearing. It will be recording in the brain as words. But because the mind is not there, later when I ask you, you will say, I was elsewhere. That happens many times when I read the Sahasranamas. I will start reading Om Vishnu Vishnu Vashatkaro, Lapte Shri Mata Shri Maharagi, and suddenly after 50 or 60 shlokas I will remember that I am reading it. But in the meantime I was reading it and correctly reading it, but I am not aware that I am reading it. So what happened? The Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas are not linked with mind. And when mind is linked with Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas, what will you get? You get the divine visions, Divya Shravana. Instead of the normal hearing, you will hear the divine hearing. That is what Edgar Cayce proved. He proved that when he was in that subconscious or semi-conscious or cosmic consciousness, I would like to call it as Nirvichara Samadhi. The technical word for Edgar Cayce is a state of thinking, a Nirvichara Samadhi, where no thoughts are vibrating. Then the entire cosmos thoughts become his. When you are blank, everything comes into you. So, what Edgar Cayce's trances were, the power of the mind. I am not talking about the buddhi, chitta and ahankara. And Edgar Cayce's example proves that you also can become like him. That is what is important. It is not saying that Edgar Cayce has given these readings. You should be able to give such readings with consciousness, not sleeping. That is yoga. But what did he do? He was just in a thoughtless state. The mind is blank. And whatever question is put to it, from the entire cosmos, he gets the answer. So what, only Edgar Cayce will get these answers? You also can get the answers. But you say, I am not getting it. Have you tried it for at least few years? Do you think you will get all these things just by wishing it? Can you become an engineer by just wishing it? So that is the magnificent possibility. And you people read this chapter with this background in mind. We also can become Edgar Cayce's. We also can become Sri Ram Sharma Acharyas. We also can become Ramana Maharshis. We also can become Sri Aurobindo. And not only can become, we will become. And not only that, we will become greater than them. So this is the first chapter, what is known as the magnificent possibility. Now you understand the possibility? You can become so great with 5 years time. Give 5 years time. So, the great possibility is, the magnificent possibility is, as given in page 9, second paragraph, last line, Man can experience awareness beyond the normal range of senses. Man can experience awareness beyond the normal range of senses. Now, in the second chapter, it talks about the medical clairvoyance of Edgar Cayce. Just as in normal education, we have expertise, specializations, you also can have specializations, whether about the five Gyanendriyas, which in our yogic literature are known as Vidhis, or five Karmendriyas, their development, which is known as Siddhis. So the Siddhis are the physical developments of various organs and senses, and Riddhis are the various development of Gyanendriyas. The Gyanendriyas are internal development and Siddhis are external development. And now you understand how in such a simple article of 2.5 pages Pujya Gurudev has given the explanation of all these great people. And therein lies my master's greatness, my Gurudeva ego. So, Edgar Cayce developed medical clairvoyance, and you can develop your own clairvoyance, or your own clairaudience, or your own telepathy, your own teletransportation. Telepathy is mental, teletransportation is physical. Teletransportation, you understand, moving things by mind power. So whatever it is, about Edgar Cayce's medical clairvoyance, he has written and he has told in this chapter that Edgar Cayce could diagnose many, many problems which modern doctors couldn't diagnose and give a method of cure, and which when followed gave results. So we can also analyze his advices depending upon the law of cause and effect and find out a principle which made him to advise so-and-so cure therapy. So that is our main reason to study this. She has already done that work. Jena Sirminara has gone, given a clue to how to think about Edgar Cayce's various interpretations of physical illnesses and mental illnesses. And now we will try to master it. And not only we will try to master it, we will try to use it to cure many people's illness. In this, I have started in our website a page called Samanvaya. There if you can read and understand and have contact with Mr. Naveen of Guntur, you can understand more about it. They are practicing these things in a scientific and methodical way, so you may join hands with him. Now the third chapter says all these processes I am talking about give an answer to the riddles of life. There are many things which we are unable to answer. For example, one man seems to get all the blessings in life, physical blessings I mean. And another man strives hard and hard and hard, he gets nothing. And then we doubt whether there is a God, whether he has any intelligence. And many people try to surpass God's intelligence. They say if they were God, they would not have allowed all these mafia leaders and all these murders and all these things. But that is because, like saying that you will not allow an operation on the brain because it is criminal. It is bad to hurt anybody. But do you allow an operation even though it hurts? Why? Because in the end the result is good. The same thing here also. If you can understand the cause and effect, you can understand why someone is murdered and why someone loses their hands or legs in an accident. And then a very peculiar thing may develop, a negative way of allowing things to happen. Okay, his karma is like that, his prarabdha is, don't do that, that is wrong. It only says that because he has done like this, he got this effect. And now you can juxtapose it by another type of action, so that it is nullified. That is what he says, an answer to the riddles of life. And now when we are reading this book, you should try to understand, to get an answer to your personal problems. What is the use of doing practicals in chemistry, but unable to do the practicals where it is required in daily life? In daily life, a chemist has to analyze samples. But before getting the ability to analyze the samples he has to do on that day, he learnt the analysis in a methodical way in the lab. There the samples were given before, you know the samples, you analyze it. But now what you are supposed to do? You analyze those samples about which you don't know. So when you read this book, it is just like the practical work. You already know the problem and what Edgar Cayce has said about them. And now get an answer to your riddles, to your problems. And you say, I am not getting it. In one reading, how can you get it? Simple cause and effect cycles scientists are trying to analyze and getting those results in their laboratory. But still they have not understood life. And how can you understand just by reading a book? You should have a double vision. Read it, understand it, and then apply it. Apply it to your problems. So this is what it says in the chapter, the third chapter called An Answer to the Riddles of Life. And here we will stop it for today. And these three chapters, all of you read it this week. Next Sunday, same time, same place. Okay? Jai Gurudev. That is up to page 46. Now you read it like this. Milka Dhamma, Takram. 1 liter Takram. పద్ధతి సక్రమ అంతా రికార్డ్ అయిపోతుంది. గెట్ దిస్ సిడీ థియరీ, మేక్ అదర్స్ థియరీ, కొంచెం సిస్టమేటిక్గా డెవలప్ చేయండి. మీరు కాలేజీకి ఎంత అవసరపడతారు, అందరూ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఉన్న వాళ్ళని చేస్తండి. ఇంట్రెస్ట్ లేని వాళ్ళకి మనం ఏం చెప్పట్లే ఎవల్యూషన్. కానీ మీకు ఉండే ఇంట్రెస్ట్ గ్రో అవటమే, కారణం ఏంటంటే మెథాడికల్గా అవటమే. ఈ 1 మంత్లో మిమ్మల్ని ఊకేస్తా. ఈ సీడీ మాత్రం రికార్డ్ చేసి వాళ్ళకి ఇచ్చేసి